You may be seated. This evening, I'd just like to take a couple of scriptures and before we do, let's just stand one more time to pray. And as we bow our heads and our hearts. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to come together in remembrance of that Good Friday, Father, even though this is Easter Sunday, yet, Father, because of the travel and things, we were not able to do so. But we've come here to take of the communion, Father, fellowship with you. That's what communion means, is to fellowship. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless your word tonight. May truly bring forth, Lord, in us a renewal of the mind and a dedication to walk as your children, obedient sons and daughters of God. We ask your blessings upon the service and those that came. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm reading from John chapter 13 about the foot washing. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and he went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garment, and he took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. But there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. What I see in the two passages that we read tonight is that Jesus was about to give his body as a sacrifice. And he had huddled together with the 12 that were selected out by him, his apostles, one of them being a devil. And his ministry had come to a crashing halt, if you might call it that. Oh, I'm sure had they left him alone, he would have continued to preach from here to there, and there would be healings and things. But Brother Branham said when a ministry is crowned, it's actually when it's rejected. Now, that's kind of a strange thing to think about, because when we crown an athlete, you know, it's at the pinnacle of his athleticism. You know, he wins a gold medal, he maybe hits 700 home runs or 800 home runs, whatever the number is today, has so many goals in hockey or whatever. And it's at the pinnacle of their athleticism. But not so in the ministry of the Lord. Paul, at the end of his ministry, for the last 2 or 3 years, he sat there in prison in Rome. They thought perhaps if they gave him time, he'd just wither away and just the people would forget about the man. But there's something about Paul that his teaching, although rejected by the majority, yet there were strong handfuls, strong people. I mean, I'm not talking about lots of people. I'm talking about individuals here, individuals there that had a fire, had a firm commitment, and it was setting their hearts ablaze. Jesus had just come down through Jerusalem riding on the donkey, the back of a donkey, people putting palms in front of him, singing Hosanna to the King. And then the next thing we find, he's rejected. That just goes to show that people are people. People are finicky. People are fickle. People are fickle. You know, they can love you 1 minute, hate you the next. And so don't be surprised in your Christian walk if you make enemies. You won't make enemies as long as you're singing the tune of everyone else. You'll just be one of the good old boys. But when you begin to sing a tune that God gives you to sing, whether it's brother to brother, sister to sister, friend to friend, you find that unless you're dealing with seed, you will become hated. You will become rejected. By association, you become hated. You become rejected. And that's the way of the cross. The way of the cross, even those that were close to Jesus ran from him in the garden. These were men like Peter that said, "I'll die for you, Lord." And yet where was he when the cock crowed 3 times? He had rejected his Savior. He had rejected the one that he said, "Thou art the Son of God." And Jesus said, "You didn't get that from man, you got that from God." Where was his revelation on that night? I just ask these questions because I read here from these two scriptures that these were precious moments with the Lord Jesus and his disciples, but they didn't have a clue what was coming. They didn't have a clue as to what tomorrow was going to bring. In fact, what that night would bring. And so all I say is that if we truly believe that Alpha has become Omega, as a Christian you will not be accepted, not in your community, not amongst the church people. It will be a lonely walk, but people will be blessed by who you are and the revelation that you have. Even the revelation of the doctrine of Christ. What is interesting is you can go, you can have great opposition, but there will still be those out there who are really moved in their hearts by the things that you can say, things you do. And they will see Jesus Christ manifested in flesh in this day through you. But we can see great movements. Brother Branham had them. Jesus had them. Brother Vail at one time had them. But if you look at the end of their ministry, when their ministry was the most perfect that it could be, there wasn't the crowds. There wasn't the people. There wasn't the support. There wasn't the rah-rah. There wasn't the big, swelling, moving masses. There was a handful. Just a handful. And Jesus died totally abandoned by God and man. Just his mother, another woman, Mary, and a young teenager called John. I think John was 16 when he was following Christ, when he began following, so he might have been 19 at the time of the cross. Just a young man. Didn't seem like the start of a mighty move of God, did it? William Branham, ministering before 500,000 at Durban, 300,000 in India. Actually, it's more than that, because that's how many were converted, 300,000. But where were they a year later? On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people received a baptism in the Holy Ghost. And yet Brother Branham said you could be baptized every hour of your life and still go to hell. Where were those people, those 3,000, at the end of the church age? I just ask these questions because Hebrews 6 tells us that he would be crucified again in this hour. And I believe that as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, that it's a daily thing. It's not just a once-for-all crucifixion. It's a once-for-all enlightenment that leads to crucifixion. When the word comes forth in power, demonstration, and the light shines forth and captures the souls of some, it also manifests the nature of others, and thus the crucifixion. So as you come forth tonight to take the emblems, and if at this time, Brother Michael, Brother Ron, if you would bring forth the emblems, I want you to be walking in the shoes that Jesus walked. I want you to be thinking in terms of your own life, your own dedication. Your own consecration to the Word. And ask yourself, am I walking in His footsteps? We'll just sing a song before we take the elements.
Singing, I love you, Lord. I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you.
She's playing. Let's just bow our heads in prayer as our brothers would return thanks. Thanks inside for the doing in the heart of human beings.
love you, and we need you. And you're touching and talking to us by your word, Father. And this is great that we come, and you forgive us our sins. You forgive us our sin. And we deeply in the heart, we are guilty and we need you to forgive.
Let's all stand to our feet and sing from 158, I Exalt Thee. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord, I exalt Thee. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly, Lord, with all that lays within us, exalt Thee, for Thou alone art God. And Father, we just commit, Lord, our thoughts. We commit, Lord, our life, our actions, our speech, our will. We commit them all back unto Thee. Be with us through the week, Father, we pray. We ask that Your presence will go before us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.